We are going to the phones where we're joined by our good friend, Mr. Dave Zanotti from the AP Roundtable. And Dave joins us every month as we take a look at the political scene, see what's going on in Washington and Columbus and other places. And not from a left perspective, not from a right perspective, but from a biblical perspective, trying to give you, you can get left and right everywhere else. We want to try to keep it on a biblical perspective here. And Dave, obviously, since we have talked, it seems like there's never anything for us to talk about, but we always manage to muddle through a little bit. I think since we have talked, we have had the impeachment of the president, although the House has yet to send it to the Senate. So obviously there's a lot of surprising, you know, in our country today, there's a lot of controversy over this. I can't imagine why, but just in this whole process, because it seems to me there's two things. There's the substance of what is alleged to have occurred between the president and Ukraine and the withholding of military funds and what is this quid pro quo and all that stuff. And then the process by which they got to the impeachment. What is your opinion on both of those things, the substance of it and the process of it? How do those relate to one another in terms of validity and removing a president, you know, should they choose to do so?
Gentlemen, are you just trying to make me cry?
I could ask you about other things. I could ask you about the Democratic candidates running for president. I could ask you about a lot of other issues, but I think it would all end in tears, Dave. It all ends in tears when we're talking Washington.
Okay, for the record, it's like, yeah, okay, he got me to cry in the first minute. I mean, his intro, and I'm in tears. And why? Why would I cry? Well, I would cry because I would want anyone listening today to understand that now is not a time to give up on America, on the idea of America, the idea that we, the people, are created in God's image, endowed by our Creator with certain rights, and that He has given us the opportunity, the invitation to an adventure where we learn how to walk out this faith, this love of God, in the light of loving our neighbor as ourselves. Civil government is a gift. And that it's a way that we flesh out the integrity of our relationship and redemption with God through the person of Jesus Christ. That the God of the Bible is a God of forgiveness and of second chances. And that He really loves this world. And He loves us. He really, truly loves us. Now, why do I have to repair to those first principles and first thoughts? Because we have messed this thing up so badly.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't blame the vast majority of people in this country. Guys, there's 330, give or take, 330 million people in this country. Somewhere around 270 million adults, maybe a little less. And only 3 million of them watch cable news to follow this nonsense night after night after night. Only 22 million, less than 10% of adults, watch the nightly news on network. People are unplugged and not paying attention because we've turned our form of civil government into a very poorly scripted playground brawl. And it's embarrassing. Mm-hmm. It makes me cry. It makes me cry for the devolution of the American mind, for how sad what we've done to liberty, what we've done with freedom. It breaks my heart. The truth of the matter is, if someone looks at all of this and asks, is there any legitimacy in any of it? The answer is no. The only legitimacy in it is that we elected these people.
Yeah, that, it comes back to that.
Me cry all the more.
I know. It's like, wow. You know, it's really our own fault. We brought this upon ourselves. But
over time, we really have. And this has been a long time coming. I'll get to the good news quickly because I just don't want to cry this much this morning. It can get better. It has gotten better. We've had really difficult times like this before, and people have changed their minds. But we are being very poorly served by the people that we elected. Mm-hmm. And if someone were to say to me this morning, my solution is let's get rid of all of them, every member of the House, every member of the Senate, get a new president, get a new court, start over again, I would understand. I'm sure the people that we've got there are really doing a very poor job.
Yeah. And what concerns me, David, if you study history and look at history, some common themes when civilizations collapse is, one, a decline in public morality, which I think we have seen adamantly, and two, basically clownish leadership at the top. And those two things go hand in hand with the decline of civilizations. We're seeing both of those happen in our country today.
Yeah, and I know that there are people that have picked sides out of the sheer despair and trying to create sanity by remaking different characters in a better image. Look, I don't know Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer personally. I don't know Donald Trump personally. I've had the privilege of getting to meet and know a lot of people in leadership over the years. I don't happen to know personally, nor have I sought to get to know this current regime. So it's not personal in the conversations that we have here. And I'm not to say that every person that's in public office is a bad person or failing us. There are some really good people that are trying to help.
Mm-hmm.
But we're in a mess. Our leadership at the top. Now, where did this come from? It came from a number of things. Let's be careful that we come make first things first. In the 60s, we took a turn in this country. We embraced the God is dead movement.
Yep.
The notion that maybe he's at least unnecessary. And the vast wave of the boom generation came forward out of the birth canal of the Echo Valley in California and the California sound and California dreaming and sex, drugs, and rock and roll, which turned us into the anti-war movement, which turned this first generational wave of the boomers that crashed upon the concepts of established Western culture and said, blank, no, we won't go. And the rebellion, the revolution, the sex, drugs, and rock and roll began. But it was fueled by a worldview of godlessness. God is at best unnecessary and, in fact, has either vacated the scene or never was here. Now, when you lose God, you lose man. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
If you don't like that reality, then let's go back to the devolution and the end of the Roman Empire and the barbaric era of what happened when pagans ruled the world, because that's where we're going back to again.
Mm-hmm.
And if pagan mindset rules the world, then you have chaos. Might equals right, and you see the inherent evil that's in this world based upon the fall of man manifest at every level. This concept of a godlike revelation coming to earth, ennobling us to be better, our better selves, is real. The concept of conscience is real. The concept of love and love of neighbor is real. And most people have a memory of that. But we're living out in our leadership levels as if God never existed or never was on the scene or isn't relevant any longer. And we're seeing the manifest fruit of godlessness.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And we've seen that in these two cultures that have emerged to battle it out. I mean, and we've talked about this before, David, that a culture of sexual license and a culture of Christian morality cannot coexist. Right? They're at war with one another. That one of those is going to win out over the other. And certainly, over the last few decades, the culture of sexual license has won. Now, I think encouraging in that is that you can't sustain that. That kind of culture ultimately collapses. And I think it's beginning to implode. I think the hashtag Me Too movement is the first signs of that implosion of that culture. Because I think women, for one, are waking up to the realization that in a culture of sexual license, women will never be more than objects. That they'll never be anything other than sexual objects in that kind of culture. And that's the only purpose they serve in that kind of culture. And I think they're slowly starting to realize that and realize that that's not a good place and that's not a good culture for us to live in. And
I'm sorry you got me crying again. Okay. And here's the craziness about what you've just proffered here for our listeners. It even gets worse.
Yeah.
We've now moved to the realm assisted largely by Anthony Kennedy and the Supreme Court
mm-hmm.
from 2013 to 2015 in their series of five decisions. They have helped us enter into a world of the creation by court fiat of a new gendered humanity. And we are now quickly filling up the alphabet with ideas about what our core identity is as it relates to the sexual preference or practice. And what we're discovering is in a multi-gendered remade world, the entire concept of feminism disappears in totality.
Yeah.
So all the work that we have done in culture to see men and women as God made them equal, of incredible or unique value in his sight, all gets washed away. All gets washed away. As we try to reinvent ourselves in our own image, unfortunately, we create ourselves in our first image. And then the great irony of it all is we talk about, can these two different views of living coexist? Well, yes, they can in a culture based on Christian consensus, because Christian consensus requires leaders to treat one another with respect and love, even if we disagree with them.
Yeah.
But in a non-Christian consensus, might equals right. And if you don't agree with me, then we fire you or we prosecute you, or we jail you, or we take away your stuff, or we silence you, or maybe we put you in prison because you dare to speak out against my view.
Yeah. And we're left with, because you mentioned, you know, the erasure of womanhood and of femininity. You know, we have a culture today that says that women are useless, or femininity is useless, and men are toxic. There's no good choice, right? Yeah. Where do you go from there? So women, your job is to be more like men, but men are terrible. Where do you go from that? And it's funny. Well, it's not funny. It shows us what is really behind all of this, because each of these assaults is a direct assault on a biblical truth, you know, that God made them male and female, that marriage is between a man and a woman. You know, that the way God ordered reality, that God did order reality in a certain way. And all of these are direct assault on God's ordering of reality, you know, and we know where that assault comes from. You know, ultimately it comes from the adversary, who's just whispering these lies into our culture, and we're believing them.
My wife and I were talking the other day about Christian truth claims. It's fascinating because in the modern era, if a person wants to be God or be a God, Christianity really has very little to offer you.
Yep.
Because there are no job applications for entrance into the Holy Trinity. The space has already been taken. It's been filled. But modern man rejects that notion that he wants, that he has to be second in the universe, because he really wants to be first. There's just one problem. We all are victims of gravity. We haven't cured the common cold. We can't avoid the hits and misses of childhood. For that matter, none of us even had any control on how we got here as humans. Think about it. Nobody alive today chose to be born, let alone had any control over any of the details of their birthing. So how in the world, if we can't even acknowledge the fact that we don't have any control over how we got here, how do we now want to control all reality regarding our lives? In other words, until we come to terms with the fact that we're really poor imitations of God, we can't figure this out. But the wonderful message of the gospel is that Jesus Christ, God, came to earth, that we could become part of God's family. No, we can't be God, but guess what? We can be his children. We can be like him. We were born to be a part of him, and he would come and dwell in us and make us part of his family. Now, if your goal was to be God, and sorry, but you were born human, what a great second option, right? To be a part of the family of God.
Yep.
So if I'm just being utilitarian, I'm just kind of checking my options. Which one would be better, to die alone in the despair of knowing that the very fact I ultimately die proves that I am not eternal of my own doing, or to die a child of God, part of his family, let alone to live as a part of his family? I mean, the gospel is reality, and it's very clear. Our problem is we've lost touch with reality.
Yeah. We're still buying the first lie of Satan, and you shall be as God.
Yes. Hath God said,
yeah,
just do it my way, I've got another path to get you that feeling of eternal superiority.
I mean, Satan's basically got one thing in his chamber. He's got one lie, and he just keeps repeating it, and we keep falling for it.
And he really is out of stories after that, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't have a lot to offer, but he, you know, apparently doesn't need a lot, because we are dumb enough to keep falling for what the same stupid lie he keeps telling us over and over again.
So my net on all of this is, please, Jesus, save me. God, have mercy on our country. And because only God's mercy can get us out of the mess that we're in. Now, the great news is God doesn't need to listen to the news here on YesFM to know what happened yesterday. He's not surprised by where we are.
No.
And there is no amount of sinning that we can do that will exhaust the provision of the cross.
Right.
The atonement is forever, and it is wide enough to bring us home. But we have to make decisions. We have to decide. I tend to think, from just kind of living out here in the real world, one of the reasons why we don't have an office in Washington, D.C., but instead we have offices in Valley City, Ohio, and Nashville, Tennessee, and Orlando, Florida, right down like the center from the Great Lakes to the Keys, is because our small team of missionaries has to stay right on that power grid in the center of the country, so that we don't become Washingtonian in our thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I think that most people are still looking for the truth.
Yeah. Well, and I think as believers, you know, kind of what I think the whole arc of this conversation that we've been having today, you know, we can't fall into that mistake of thinking that there are political answers to the mess that we're in, because ultimately it's not a political problem, it's a spiritual problem. And if we don't get the spiritual problem fixed, the political problem will never get fixed.
And if we do get the spiritual problem fixed, then the governmental side of this equation is really a lot more like a maintenance question.
Yeah.
Government is designed to simply make sure that we all know the rules and that the rules are fairly administered, because we're self-governed. And we know that in a fallen world, people are going to get out of shape and they're going to make wrong choices. And now how do we deal with that? And government, through the rule of law, helps us set a tone of consensus on how we want to proceed and go forward. And when we put God first in that equation, as the framers and the founders did, we see a phenomenal potential for human development in freedom and in liberty and in love. Both sides of it, both liberty and justice. When God is God and we are self-governed, and then our physical forms of government are forms of service. And not to say that one is more important than the other, or one is different, but there are spheres. There's a sphere of civil government, there's the sphere of the church. They are both important to God, and both institutions instituted by God. I tend to think that the church is far more important than the maintenance work of civil government. But you don't have to hold that view to see that they're both valid and they both can coexist, and they need to coexist. And there's a logic on how they can coexist in a biblical view. And I'm going to tell you that you don't have to be a Christian to get this. Certainly, this is a Jewish tradition in many ways, as well as a Christian tradition. But you don't even have to be a theist to get this. You just have to have common sense and compare notes and see which way works better. Because there is no system where belief is more protected in culture than in a Judeo-Christian form of government, because of the inherent respect for the individual. Nothing in Judaism or Christianity requires or permits compulsion to faith. You can't force anybody to believe.
Yep. Well, it wouldn't be true
so
faith.
I mean, this is the stuff we stopped teaching. And of course, this is why I exist.
That's why you're here, Dave. That's why God's got you drinking smoothies in the morning instead of eating waffles. Keep you around a little longer.
Yeah, I mean,
get this message out.
This is why we're here. We teach America every day. Our team does that through the public square. And of course, I can't thank you enough, because you give us an opportunity to have these conversations on a regular basis.
Well, we love having these conversations. And since you brought it up, tell folks what's available at the AP Roundtable. And iVoters will be, I'm sure, firing up here soon and all that good stuff.
Yes. iVoters is well in development. And right now, I just checked, double-checked this morning. Right now, dear good voters in Ohio are not looking at a raft of ballot issues on this year's election. There's still a little court contest going on that power plant question. Still a little bit of time on that to know for sure. But it looks like the election in Ohio this year is going to be pretty straight up on candidates for the most part, and then local issues. iVoters will be up with information on candidates from a nonpartisan perspective. We don't tell you who to vote for. We are not a guide. We are simply a fact-based, nonpartisan site where you can log on in about 15 minutes, find out where candidates stand on the issues, both sides, right, left, RDIs, and then make up your own mind. And that site is right now in development behind the scenes, all 50 states, including Ohio. So that'll be coming up this year. And then, of course, our regular features on the public square at thepublicsquare.com are happening every day around the country on radio and online audio products. And then, of course, we've got policy briefings coming up. We just got finished with an amazing series of Christmas in America. And I can tell you right now that we've already selected the year where Christmas America will be in 2020. When this election is over with us, Christmas will still happen, and we will still have a program. And last year's was astounding. Guys, we sold out every venue. We did 4 shows in 3 cities. It's the most we've ever done. We're completely exhausted.
I can imagine.
but it was amazing. It was just an amazing experience. And people are hungry. We had standing ovations at every Christmas in America show. Now, people doing standing ovations for a Christmas radio show? I mean, there's a hunger for the truth.
Yeah, they want it.
So you're not going to ask me what the Christmas in America year is going to be.
Oh, are you going to reveal? If you're going to tell us, I didn't know if it was a secret. Yeah, I'd want to know. What is it going to be in 2020?
Well, I'm going to tell you now, because you're one of my best research guys. You ask better questions than most people, and you always get me going somewhere. Yeah, we've decided on 1968.
Ooh. All right.
The year that Pat Buchanan says was the worst year in the history of our country.
Interesting. Interesting.
That's all I can tell you right now. And all I know is that by being so enmeshed already in the research for 1968, it's making 2020 look so much better.
You're going to make us feel better about this Christmas by telling us how awful Christmas past was. You're like the ghost of Christmas past, you know. We're all a bunch of Ebenezer Scrooges, and you're going to be the ghost of Christmas past to come set us straight.
Truly Charles Dickens moment. So here we are. So let's. You were asking me about impeachment, and I took us way off the track. So let's.
Well, no, I don't think you did. I think you kept us a proper way to think about these things, which is important.
I can give you 30 seconds if it helps.
All right, throw in 30 seconds at the end of all that.
It's all about politics. Yeah. On both sides, all about politics. It's all about the election, and has the charges in no way, shape, or form merit all of this. It doesn't matter whether you like Donald Trump or don't like Donald Trump. Impeachment is a tool for a specific constitutional design, and it's currently being used for the politics of this election. And if you understand it inside that context, then you don't worry about impeachment, but you just realize this is the way the ruling class is behaving, and it's not going to go anywhere other than an attempt to influence the outcome of an election. That's where you have to understand it.
Okay. And then, as we talk today, a more important, broader perspective is that biblical perspective that we always appreciate that you bring to us, David, because we don't get that everywhere. You're not going to get it on CNN and Fox and all those other places, but you'll get it here. So thank you so much, David. It's always great talking with you. It's always insightful and valuable, and we really appreciate your time with us.
Thank you, guys, and thank you for joining all of us and continuing to pray. God have mercy on America today.
Yes, amen. Amen. Hey, thanks, David.
Thanks, Charles.